The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the program. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm Eric Metaxas, and I get to talk to fascinating people usually, and today for sure. I have sitting here with me Jerome Corsi. If you listen to this program, you remember that we've had Jerome Corsi on this program in the past. I hardly know where to begin, so I will simply say welcome back.
A great pleasure to be back with you, Eric. Thank you.
I want my audience to understand what we're dealing with here. So first of all, you have written many, many big best-selling books, two New York Times number one bestsellers. You were, the reason you were on this program the last time, you were grievously persecuted through the Mueller investigation. They put you through hell. We talked about that when you were on the program last time. We're living in dark times. What happened the other day in Mar-a-Lago is just the latest example of it. So I want to talk to you about your new book, but give us an update on everything that has happened. I mean, there's so much evil every day, every week, every month that you can't remember what happened a year ago, what happened 2 years ago. I mean, the Mueller investigation, I forgot about that because so much else has happened.
Well, first of all, Eric, it's a great pleasure to be back with you. When I was here last, I thought I was going to prison. And it was your shows, I think, made a huge impact. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
I'm astonished and thrilled and thankful to God that that might be the case.
Well, I think my faith got me through, and I deeply appreciate your program. We need more Christian programming. My faith was really the bedrock of what I would not lie to give the Mueller people what they wanted to keep Trump out of prison. And they wanted me basically to affirm the Russian collusion theory, which I knew to be nonsense and did not have a part in. I thought it had ties to Julian Assange. It goes on and on. I wrote a book about it, Silent No More.
So the book you wrote about it was called Silent No More.
Silent No More.
Well, I want to be clear, too. You know, you say Christian programming. This is not a Christian program. It's a program. And I think part of the problem, we're living in a reality where so many people have faith in God, but we act as though we're supposed to be secular, publicly secular. And I think that's insane. Well, most people I know operate out of some kind of faith commitment, and yours is the classic case. You would not lie because you think it's a sin to lie. You said, I'm going to tell the truth, even if I go to jail,
yes,
which is exactly what my friend Chuck Colson did.
Right.
He came to faith in Jesus, and they tried to give him a plea deal, and he said, I will not lie. If you send me to jail, you send me to jail. And, of course, he did go to jail. But in your case, you said, I will not lie. I will not tell you what you want to get a better deal. And God delivered you from prison.
It's pretty remarkable. I mean, the couple of things were, I think, key. One is they gave me the plea deal, and I would rehearse myself thinking I'm standing before a judge, and I've got to recite this. And every time I rehearsed it in my mind, I'd get about halfway through, and I'd say, Judge, this is nonsense. I didn't do this. They want me to say this in order to go to prison a little bit of time. Why don't you just put me in prison a long time? Because I'm not going to take this plea deal. I'd be in the plea bargaining with, you know, in front of the judge, and I couldn't see myself coming through to the end of it. Then one day, my wife is really critical in this. She was the mainstay in this. One day, I was in our bedroom, kind of waking up, looking at the computer, She just woke up, sat up in bed, and said, I would rather visit you the rest of your life in prison than not have you be the man I married. Now, when she said that, I said, well, Monica, if you mean that, then I'm telling these people we're not taking the deal. Now, I can't tell you I won't be in prison. Can't tell you it won't ruin the family. But I'm not going to take their plea deal.
Well, look, Jerome, I just have to ask you, because my audience, most of the folks listening right now won't remember the details. First of all, there is something really, really despicable about our justice system, that they tell people to lie. That's a sin, to lie to get a certain result, and a lot of people do it. You refuse to do it. But before we get into how horrible that is, what was it in your life, what happened in your life that had the Mueller investigators on top of you, trying to persecute you? Who were you to them? Give us the background. You know, we said you're an author, but give us the background on
this. Well, in 2016, when I was really wanting Donald Trump to be elected, and I worked with Roger Stone to try. I was reporting for that time for WorldNet Daily. I'd been a senior staff reporter there since 2004. In 2016, everybody wanted to know what Julian Assange had. Julian Assange had emails. He released a batch of them just before the Democratic National Convention. They were so powerful, Debbie Wasserman Schultz had to resign just before the convention started. Assange had brilliant material. He knew how to use it. Assange said, I've got more. And he wouldn't say what they were. Well, I started thinking about that. I mean, various people were saying, why don't you go to London? I could go to London, knock on the door, and say, Julian Assange, Jerry Corsi, would you let me in? I want to know what you've got. He's not going to tell me. So I really thought that was a fool's errand. At any rate, we took a vacation. It was our 25th wedding anniversary, my wife and I, and we took the family to Italy. And on the airplane, I figured out that Assange had Podesta's emails. And I started.
Now, just to be clear, because again, this is a little confusing for people who don't know who you are. And you're a writer, you're also an investigative journalist. You think about this kind of stuff. You're on the plane, and your brain helps you to understand exactly what.
It's kind of almost like, it's hard to explain. I've done this all my life. I've had since I was a child. Pieces of information, and I'll be sorting them out. I've followed Podesta for years. I would sit in meetings and watch him. Podesta was one of the key Democratic operatives behind Hillary's campaign. And he's very leftist ideologically. He really wants to change the country.
We have to be clear, again, because I want to assume everybody remembers everything.
Right.
Podesta's a Democratic operative, but he's like somebody I would consider a bad guy.
Bad guy.
This is not just, a Democratic person. No. This is somebody who, without going into it, there's reason to believe that he's involved in some very dark stuff. So how was it, to begin with, that you had any ability to be in his proximity in meetings? What do you mean in meetings?
Well, I mean, he would hold meetings in Washington, D.C. that would be public meetings. You know, there were forums. There were, you know, discussions of...
This is during the Obama administration,
Clinton? This goes back to Clinton. I mean, I've been following Podesta for a long time.
Okay.
Because, again, I'm a political reporter. I'm trying to understand who the players are. I want to see them in person. I want to absorb how they are as people and what they're thinking. So I file that information away in my mind. Now, when I'm on the airplane, I'm saying, what would somebody who stole these emails? I knew the Russians didn't do it. I strongly have always suspected it was Seth Rich who did it, one of the operatives within the Democratic Party itself who stole the emails. And anyone who knew anything about how the Democrats worked under Hillary Clinton would know that Podesta was the bad guy. And if you get Podesta's emails, you had that was the mother load. And the way that Assange was talking, he had the mother load, so I figured it had to be Podesta's email.
Okay, but again, to trace the arc of the narrative, because so much has happened. In 2016, when Julian Assange is scaring the Democratic leadership to death because he is leaking emails, he's letting them know, I have your internal emails. I know what you've been doing.
That's right.
But he is not sharing a lot of that. He shares a little bit, but just enough so that you realize, aha, I think I know that he has the emails of John Podesta. Now, if he has that stuff, this is as inside as it gets. When we come back from the break, more with Jerome Corsi. The new book, you've got to look this stuff up, The Truth About Energy, Global Warming, and Climate Change. We'll be talking about that later. Don't go away. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
Make like a Mr. Milquetoast, you'll get shut out.
Folks, very, very important conversation. I'm sitting here in the studio with Jerome Corsi, and I want to talk about your new book, but I want to continue the conversation just so people understand who you are and the hell you have been through, but that God delivered you. And I'm being blunt. God delivered you, and you know that, and you say that. But you're helping us track how this all went down. So in 2016, Julian Assange is rattling the cage of the Democratic establishment and letting them know, I've got your secret emails. I know what you've been up to. What did you think he had? In other words, it's one thing to say, I think he has the emails of John Podesta. And by the way, I don't know how he gets these emails or whether this is ethical. That's a separate conversation. But what did you suppose that he had?
Well, when we got to Italy, I wrote Roger Stone some emails, and I made it sound like I had a source. You know, word is that this is what I figured out exactly what was going to be in the emails. I predicted that Podesta was going to say things like Hillary's sick, like she's a bad campaigner, like that we've stolen campaign funds and lied about it, and we've done it through violating the FEC rules. I laid out six or seven things I knew were going to be in these emails. I had not seen them. This was all speculation on my part. Well, when of course, the FBI had been surveilling me, and I'm unaware of this, but they had all my emails.
Why would the FBI be surveilling you?
Because they hated Donald Trump from the very beginning. As soon as the emails were stolen, Hillary said the Russians did it, and Hillary started during the 2016 campaign laying the groundwork that the Russians were in cahoots with Trump.
Okay, and we now know, in case you're not tracking, folks, we now know that Hillary Clinton's campaign chose this narrative that we are going to demonize the Trump campaign. We're going to accuse them of working with the Russians, basically to give ourselves cover so that whatever goes wrong, we can say the Russians stole the election. Trump was treasonous working with the Russians. So they've established this narrative, and they're already working with the FBI, which, again, this is so sick. So this is under Obama's administration. They're using the FBI to attack their political enemies, and you happen to be one of their political enemies.
Yes, because I was helping Trump get elected. And when I had figured this out and gave this information, the FBI picked it up, and they decided they were obviously tracking all my, where I was going, all my communications. They were reading my computers. The FBI said they could read the keystrokes I was making, writing documents on my computer.
This is in the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. Are you picking this up? This is so sick. I have to always pause and underscore in case somebody thinks, though, that's the way it is. This is evil. This is as un-American as anything we have ever experienced. And you're saying that this happened to you in 2016, that they are on to you. Let me ask another question before we continue. How was it that you were working, if you're an investigative journalist, you write books, how were you involved to help Trump get elected? In other words, in what capacity were you involved in that?
I was reporting for World Net Daily. I was writing articles. I was following the campaign. I met Roger Stone early on in the process, like in February that year, as I recall, 2016. And we just started working together. Roger would ask me, what about this issue? What about that issue? You know, could you help me write this? And so I worked with him. I wanted Trump to be elected. So in a sense, I was, in the FBI's view, I was a political operative now because I'm helping. I'm just really figuring things out and reporting and telling Roger Stone what I've figured out. And evidently, Roger's relaying them to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Trump's followed me for a long time. I've known Trump since really the 80s, or when he owned the Plaza. I had a long career in financial services, and I about lived in the Plaza Hotel as a VIP guest for several years. And he owned it, and he knew me, but not well. But he knows who I am, and we're not friends. We don't talk. But the FBI had this idea that I had a source that gave me the information from Julian Assange to pass, and if they could get my source, they could prove the Russian collusion. When I refused to take their plea deal, Mueller's case fell apart. I broke Mueller's back by refusing to lie.
Now, has that been widely reported?
No.
Because when you just say that, I think to myself, a lot of the way information is transmitted, I'm fascinated by how the chattering classes, they chatter about stuff, but I think a lot of people at home are thinking, wait a minute, whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to this? I mean, the Mueller investigation was this bizarre thing. It went on and on and on and on. And then eventually he folds up his tents and goes home. And nobody says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can't do that. We've been dragging America through this for all this time. And now you're just saying there's nothing there. How did this whole thing start? What happened? I mean, this is, again, so much evil has happened that we move on to the next evil and the next evil and the next evil. But so you're in the middle of this thing, and because you refused to give them this little piece, this lie, because of your faith in Jesus, you said, I'm not going to lie. I want to look at myself in the mirror. You're saying it's your estimation or your guess that forced Mueller to say we have nothing.
Well, I pretty much actually know it as a fact that I closed his investigation because of this. I was the last key piece. They had to have some tie to Julian Assange for Trump, some person. Now, they put me through, I volunteered to talk with the FBI. I gave them all my computers, all my cell phones. I had nothing to hide. Okay? And in the discussions, they really wanted me to identify a source that I knew this from. So they had a person. They had the whole conspiracy. They knew everybody I had lunch with, I had dinner with, and they thought I had a source in Italy that gave me the information, and they weren't monitoring me that closely in Italy. So when I couldn't give that, I don't have a source. I didn't. And yet they were saying to me, you're lying, you're lying, you're lying. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. Well, when I refused to take their plea deal, see, if I pled guilty, they would have then said, oh, he had a source after all. He just wouldn't tell us. They would have had their case. So they had threatened. They told my attorneys they were going to indict me. And I went on the media. I went on as much as I could to explain what was going on. And they didn't indict me. And then within a few days, they dropped the investigation. Mueller came out and said, we're done. Okay, now, from internally, you know, from all the communications, I've talked with Giuliani about this because the White House had my plea deal. Really, Giuliani said it kind of was dropped in over the transom. He just got it. And he said, took it to Trump, and they knew my case was pivotal, as did I. When they couldn't have a link to tie Trump to Assange, the Russian collusion case couldn't be proved. If they thought they could have convicted me, they would have indicted me. They would have had their case. They didn't do it. Someone stopped them. They didn't do it. And then they closed the investigation up. The press won't report this. The mainstream media was happy to have me
on. This is why I want to talk to you about it, because you're telling me that it's your faith in Jesus that made you say, I won't take a plea deal. And because of that, Mueller shut his investigation down.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Well,
that's beautiful.
I've lived with this and believed from the day when it was happening, I believed that was going to be the case. And, you know, I faced going to prison and probably dying in prison. And if that was the case, so be it. I'm not here to, you know, gain earthly laudits or money or praise or anything else. And so none of that makes any difference to me.
I mean, listen, that's the only way to fly. You know that, and I know that, and there are a number of people listening who know that, that you're not free unless you live that way. But you can't live that way unless you know the God of the Bible is real.
I do not consider myself a hero. I don't want the praise. This had nothing to do with anything except that I couldn't stand before God and lie, period. I just couldn't do that.
Well, that attitude makes you a hero. You just don't maybe want to say that about yourself, but that's the way that breaks down if you do the math. Because there are a lot of people that would lie. They don't fear God. They fear what man is going to do to them. And, you know, you did, of course, the right thing. But because, I mean, what fascinates me, Jerome, is that when people do the right thing, they have no idea the ramifications. I mean, the ramifications for America, because of your moment of faith and bravery, the ramifications for America are huge.
It's God's plan, not mine. And why I so admire your show is I've been interviewed hundreds of times. I can't remember how many times. No one except you has gotten to the core of this. You're the first one to really understand it. And it's your belief in Jesus that allows you to do it as well, because you understand the mainstream media only demonizes me. And they will not explain this because they want to perpetuate their hatred of Trump. And I'm saying there was nothing there in the Russian collusion, and I wouldn't lie to create it.
Well, we've got much more tomorrow. I want to talk to you only about your new book. But folks, don't go away.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size, regularly priced at $89.98, is now only $39.98 with our listener promo code Eric. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable. They've got a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC or just go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Use the promo code ERIC. The offer will not last very long because these Percale sheets are known to sell very quickly. Order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC.
Somewhere the
folks. Welcome back. I'm talking to Jerome Corsi. Tomorrow we will talk in depth about the new book. It's called The Truth About Energy, Global Warming, and Climate Change, Exposing Climate Lies in an Age of Disinformation. The Truth About Energy, Global Warming, and Climate Change by Jerome Corsi, multiple best-selling author. But, Jerome, let's stick with what we're talking about right now, because the news of the day, the news of this week, what happened at Mar-a-Lago the other day, I mean, the level, the brazenness of this evil, that they would be so unbelievably desperate that they would try to terrorize a nation by breaking into the home of a former president of the United States. Where do you think this is going?
Well, I dealt with it firsthand, as we discussed in Mueller. I came to consider the FBI evil. I considered it actually demonic, that their motive is political. Biden can do whatever he wants to. Hunter Biden, they're not interested in. Hillary Clinton, they won't investigate. When Nancy Pelosi says no one's above the law unless you're on the side of the demons and you're a Democrat, and you hate America and you hate God, then you get a free pass. And that's, to me, a clear indication that we're dealing with a demonic system. And I mean that in the absolute terms of Satanism. These people have gone over to the dark side. That they would do this to a former president of the United States makes it clear they want to put Donald Trump in prison if they have to get him on a jaywalking ticket. They don't care. They've investigated Donald Trump every way they can. I mean, I have watched Donald Trump also for years. Donald Trump is an honest person. And he's got lots of lawyers and accountants. He's not going to file taxes or make a legal decision without their approval. He runs his organizations in an honest and clean way. Now, people may not like things about him or his lifestyle or the way he presents himself, but Donald Trump is, and I've watched him have breakfast in the Plaza Hotel with his family. I've seen him interact with his family. I mean, I have watched, as I say, I have to watch people. I have to see them in order to really begin to get a sense of them. And Donald Trump is not going to be caught on anything. But these people that we have now, if this is justice in America, we no longer have justice. This is the Gestapo. This is the Nazis. And even worse than that, Eric, what's upon my heart is that we're entering clearly end days. That this is World War III has begun, and these demons will bring it about. The whole idea of destroying the middle class, passing a Inflation Reduction Act that does not have any billionaire tax in it, but hires 87,000 IRS agents to go after the middle class. I mean, these people are.
I mean, this sounds like something out of my Bonhoeffer book. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Everything that I'm seeing today. I cannot believe it. But where I would differ with you, Jerome, is that I believe by God's grace, they will fail. I believe that they are doing things that it only takes a handful of people like you to stand up to do the right thing. If you don't, they win. But if you do, they can't fight against God. And I believe God is in the middle of this.
Even against Hitler. It was possible to have stopped him.
And we know they didn't, and I believe, in a sense, that's the warning, particularly to the church today. I have a book coming out in the fall called Letter to the American Church, where I draw the parallels and basically say what happened then is exactly what's happening now, unless we take the story of Bonhoeffer as a prophetic warning to the church and obey and do the right thing.
Well, we'll need another Bonhoeffer to get through this. And the point is that the churches today have completely gone complicit. They're now teaching this woke critical race theory.
Yeah.
That'll be what my second book is about, this three-book trilogy, God will. I don't know that anyone will ever read them. They may all be read after I'm gone. But I want to tell people in advance, we're entering World War III. World War III is going to be nuclear. I've been writing about this for 20 years. Now Israel is going to have to face a nuclear-armed Iran. I've written three books on Iran. And about atomic Iran was my first one. Nobody read it. It was hugely important. It was read in Israel. But the point is, these people are dark. you know, this, they can't tell you who a woman is. They want transgenders to teach your children in school. The inmates are running the asylum. You know, like Kerouac's book, these people have flown over the cuckoo's nest and they think they're in charge.
Well, I think most Americans, people who are raising their kids just trying to get by, they see this. They see this is madness. Everywhere they look is madness. When we see that there is, you know, BLM riots and vandalism and burning or whatever, nothing happens. And then if you're not wearing a mask in a public park, somebody will arrest you. I mean, we have seen madness over the last number of years. And I really do believe a number of people have woken up.
But they're not in control. The evil is in control, like they were with the Nazis.
At present,
and
yes.
Now they've got a Gestapo, and they're going to arrest anybody who opposes them.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, okay, COVID, we had a bad flu. COVID, everybody's got to lock down, you're all going to die. Climate emergency. We've all got to lock down, everybody's going to burn up the earth, and we're not going to survive. These are fantasies. They're follies. They're madness. But yet they're in control, and they did lock down the society. They did about destroy the middle class. If they have to do it again, they'll do it.
Yeah.
If they have to do anything to rig the midterm elections, we better have a lot of poll watchers.
Yeah.
Because, again, what happened in Nazi Germany was that the Germans took control of the apparatus. Churches cooperated.
No. Listen, we'll talk. We will continue this when we come back. Talking to Jerome Corsi, C-O-R-S-I. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Jerome Corsi, C-O-R-S-I. Jerome, you've written a lot of important books. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the new one. These things couldn't be more important. We're really talking about the disposition of the future of the world. It sounds crazy. I wish, oh, how I wish it were crazy, but it's not. What you just said about the parallels to what the Nazis did, anybody who doesn't think that could happen again is not realistic. Human beings are capable of unspeakable evil, often simply by being silent and drifting along, as most Americans did during the COVID madness. I mentioned that I have a book coming out in the fall called Letter to the American Church, where I am hoping that enough people in the American church will wake up before it's too late, as they did not do in the German church in the 30s. Otherwise, without any question, we're going to another, it's a kind of Holocaust, a level of evil and destruction of liberty that we simply won't recover from.
It may already be too late.
Yes, it may.
The church may already have been complicit in this Marxism. They may have gone over to, you know, this whole idea of social justice. This is a Marxist theory, and it is evil. It's only aimed at destroying, and it will destroy. In 2006, when I first was writing Atomic Iran, I was walking across the Key Bridge one day, right by Washington, you know, right going to Georgetown that crosses the Potomac. And it almost came on me. God said, look at the city. I looked at the city, and God said, this could all be destroyed with nuclear weapons in 20 seconds. I'm showing this to you for a purpose. Now, that began to really motivate my life. That began to really prey on my soul, that I couldn't explain to people why things I'm writing about are so important they can't afford not to listen. Now, I'm not promoting books here. I don't think the book we're about to talk about will be read until I'm dead, if there's anybody here to read it. And I mean that very seriously. Because what we're about to go through is not the destruction of Donald Trump, it's the destruction of liberty, destruction of freedom, the destruction of the mafia not coming in, the Gestapo, the Stasi, the Stalinists coming in telling you you're thinking the wrong thing and taking you away, and no one will protect you.
That's right.
No one will come to your defense.
Well, that's why I say that unless people speak up and stand up now. Folks, if you do not go to war with this evil in whatever way you're able to, if you don't speak up, if you don't resist, You are, without any question, you are guilty. You are part of the problem. You are making this happen by your inaction and by your silence. I am hopeful that enough people, as I said, are waking up and realizing, because things are so bad, some people have been waking up.
I want to make another important point. In other words, for people to do this, it's you cannot do it with arms. You can't do it with protests. You can't do it. That'll just fall into their game. That'll fall into their trap, just like January 6th did. There is only one way to stop this, and that is you've got to come back to affirming faith in God, trust in Jesus Christ, and you've got to do what Nancy Reagan said about drugs. Just say no. If enough people just say no, these demons can't rule a country. They will not have – it doesn't take protests. It takes just saying no. I'm going to take my kid out of the public school. I'm not paying your taxes, whatever. Don't violate the laws. That plays into their
right.
game.
That's right.
But resolve yourself on a purely moral basis that God will win. God will do the rest.
I have to ask you, because we're out of time for the day almost, and tomorrow I want to talk to you about your new book. But, and you've written so many books, but this is the new one. But when did you come to faith? What is your story of faith?
It's a long story. I mean, when I was a kid, I was born with it. And then, you know, through the educational years, it gets eroded. It never left me. It always hunted me down like God will hunt you down. And I knew in my heart that I always believed in God. And it's just come on me overwhelmingly. Like these things I'm writing, I don't decide to write them. The whole idea, every one of these books is in my mind completely before I write a word. And God won't leave me alone. I wake up at 3 in the morning dreaming the book. And eventually the only way I can get rid of it is if I write it down.
Wow. So tomorrow we're going to talk about the truth about energy, global warming, and climate change. Do you think it's possible that we could recover our country and liberty? I mean, if enough people wake up?
Only if they come back to God. Only if they do what we're advised to do and get on our knees and ask God's forgiveness that we allowed it to get to this point. There's a fundamental difference between justice. I have no ill malice towards anyone. I welcome the Spanish. I have no prejudice or hatred. I refuse to have hatred. I get accused of it all the time. I don't have it. But God will take care of it as long as we follow His way. And His way is to honor Him, and He'll take – we don't have to do a thing. God will handle it. We can't figure out how to handle it. If we do, we'll just play into the demon's game. Satan right now thinks he can win, and my bet is he will. I am not betting that we'll win. But – I'm continuing to write, continuing to do what I'm doing, because really I have no choice.
Well, but that's the only way to fly. You put yourself in God's hands. I mean, when you said, "I refuse to lie for this plea deal," you had zero guarantee that it would go well. It would be nice if it went well, but you were going to do the right thing in any case. And you see these examples through Scripture, you see these examples through history. Most of us have choices like that at one point or another. Am I going to do the right thing and let the chips fall where they may? Or am I going to take the safe bet? Am I going to take the dive? Am I going to take the easy way? Many people listening right now have that going on in their lives. If everyone will trust God and do the right thing, knowing you cannot outgive God, when you do the right thing, even when you lose, you win. People need to understand that that's who God is. We're out of time. Jerome Corsi, is there a website where people can find you?
I'm creating a new website. It's drjeromecorsi.com. It's drjeromecorsi.com.
Okay.
No periods, no dots, just all.
drjeromecorsi.com. We will have you tomorrow for the whole hour talking about your new book. But what an honor to have you, Dr. Jerome Corsi. Thank you for today.
My honor to be here. Thank you.
Folks, the headline is, we need your help. What do I mean by that? I mean at least three things by that. Number one, if it's possible for you to get to be part of our studio audience, August 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and 8th in New York, this week, it starts about 4 o'clock every day. We're taping the late night, the talk show with Eric Metaxas. It is a mainstream TV talk show. We don't have time to get into it now, but it's nuts. We've got a lot of mainstream guests. It's going to be a blast. We can't share most of it with you yet, but if you can get there, go to ericmetaxas.com. You'll see where it says speaking or schedule, whatever, and you click on it every day. You can sign up through Eventbrite. We'd love you there all 4 days or just one day. You can bring as many people as you want to sign them up. But this is going to be a wild, fun thing. We need some fun, folks. We need some fun because there's a lot of tough stuff going on, but we want you to be there. Please do what you can. That's number one. Number two, if you follow me on social media, let me just ask you, instead of liking what I put there, would you retweet it or would you share it? Would you share it on Facebook? I'm trying to get a lot of information out. And I don't think I've ever said this before, but a lot of times people will like something. We need to get the word out. We are being suppressed. We know that what we're doing, whether we're being shadow banned, I don't mean to sound like, you know, like the like Chicken Little. This is actually, or not Chicken Little. Who am I looking for? Oh, The Boy Who Cried Wolf. This is actually happening. Yeah. We need your help, folks, to multiply our message. Everything we put out, it's a struggle. So whatever you can do to help us. And speaking of helping us, as you know, every couple of times a year, we try to raise funds for an organization that we think worthy. At the top of the list is Food for the Poor. Food for the Poor is an amazing Christian nonprofit relief organization. They go where there is a need. And I just want to tell you right now, they are helping families who have fled the Ukraine. Now, we don't need to get into the politics of it. These are people that are suffering, and we want to show them the love of God. We want to help them. Food for the Poor, I can't think of anybody that I would trust more to do that. So Food for the Poor is partnering with a number of Christian organizations, relief organizations, ministry partners to get food, literal food, to these families that have fled their homes. They've left everything behind. If you know anybody who's ever been through anything like this, my parents experienced this kind of thing. It's hellish. And we want to show them the love of God. So I want to ask you simply to call this number to help. Or you can just go to the banner. Our banner is MetaxasTalk.com. That's the radio banner. We want you to give. We want you to give generously. We just want everybody who listens to this program to do what you can. By God's grace, we are able to do something. Let's do what we can. So please go to MetaxasTalk.com. Or you can call this number. I'll give it to you right now. 844-863-HOPE. Please dial that number. Please give what you can now. It's August 1st. We don't have a lot of time to do this. It's always a struggle. God bless you as you give. 844-863-HOPE. 844-863-HOPE. These are people that are struggling, and we need to do what we can to help them. 844-863-HOPE. 844-863-HOPE. MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner there. And Albin and I will shortly let you know. Everybody who gives anything, we will put your names in a hat, so to speak, proverbial hat, and we'll have a number of grand prize winners. We want to give you signed books and all kinds of things. And I always say, anybody who can give $10,000 is tax deductible. I'd be delighted to have dinner with you, to spend an evening with you. We always manage to make that work. So remember, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, or go to MetaxasTalk.com. God bless you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.